Well, we had to make that same configuration change on this one to get them to pass through. Normally, they don't pass them through. I think that was probably just a security feature for a long time ago for when people would program them with DTMF over there. And that was quite popular back in that time, but I don't think much, there's not very many people to do that anymore, so it's probably not the risk that it was in the past. But anyway, glad you got it up and running. Enjoy it. And happy. Now it's your turn to teach somebody else how to do it. Let that spread like the coronavirus. One teaches two, and two teach four, and four teach eight, and on. Anyway, good to hear that. Appreciate the update, Ryan. Take care. I'm going to get back to my programming, W4DJW.
Okay, Flo-Q. Yes, sir. I will, if anybody asks me or comes to me, I will definitely let them know. And I'll try my best to walk them through like you did. I mean, it was a struggle, definitely, but we finally got it working. Don't know how exactly I got it working, and I probably couldn't fix it if it broke. But I could probably run through the same steps if it did. So we still program our repeater through GTMF, and I don't know why. But he told me that it wasn't on because we programmed the other repeater with this repeater, and it worked just fine. So I'm not sure if when it's restarting, like it has been on the mountain, that it's just been defaulting back. I will have to ask him to let him know. But again, thank you for that, and hopefully I'll just be checking in with that echo link instead of kind of scratching signal. KM4LQO, I'll be clear. 73-0, buddy.
KM4SNK, you still on the line?
Hey, KM4LQO, go ahead.
I just was going to ask, I know you said it kept disconnecting and you having to reconnect. Are you still having that issue, or did it resolve?
Don't recall exactly disconnecting from I think a couple of times I was having some problem with it disconnecting from the Echolink directory servers, and if you just give it about 20 seconds, it should reconnect back. But right now our problem that we're having is that our DTMF tones won't come through our repeater. So the only way to use it is on a simplex at the moment, because we only have one repeater. So that's our current issue. But I think everything's working as far as disconnecting. I think the only other thing that I mentioned disconnecting was I went to go use my Echolink station, and my arm caught one of the wires and pulled all the wires out, so I had to reconnect everything. But that's the only thing that I recall about disconnecting.
Roger on that. Yeah, I remember you also said you couldn't use one of your stations because it was messing with it too.
That's the other thing. I can't use my base station because it's a portable, and it's just the way it is. I mean, it's like 2 feet from my base station. Even though my base station has an antenna outside, the antenna on the portable is right next to it. And so since it's using a simplex frequency and I'm transmitting on one and receiving on the other, it's pretty much creating this bubble that I can't receive inside of, because it's just transmitting over that received signal. And that's the other reason why I wanted to make this all completely portable. That's why I made sure that it's working where I can connect to it remotely, and it'll start on startup, so that way I can actually put it in a box and put it on the other side of the house, or in the attic, or even the other side of my room. Maybe that'll help. I'm just wanting to get the transceiver out of the way of this transceiver, so that way it will still continue to function.
I know, that stinks not to be able to use some of your equipment because of it. Maybe you'll get somewhere you can go with it and it won't interfere.
That's what I'm hoping. I went out and bought a Pelican Tape knockoff from Harbor Freight today at like $10. And that's what I'm going to try and do is I've already got a PL259 connector on the outside, so I can just connect an external antenna, or I can just keep the internal antenna on the radio. I think it should be small enough to fit and then I'm just going to play Tetris and figure out how I can fit a power bank in there and fit the tie in there. The relay's pretty small. I want to try and be able to put the speaker on the outside just in case we want to be able to. We can connect the speaker, so I make it a female DC jack, a female audio jack to put in there. But it will, hopefully it will be in that case in the next couple of days. I don't want to keep it down for too long if somebody would like to use it. But as of right now, nobody can use it to connect to other nodes. I can if I type it in on my computer through a command. I can actually get it to connect to different nodes, but not over DTMF tone.
Well, shoot, I hope you can work it all out. I know it's kind of a headache until it gets straightened out, though. We appreciate you putting up with it and dealing with it, though, because I know it's a chore.
And 4LQO, yeah, it was. I didn't think it would be this bad. But see, the biggest issue is when you set up everything on Echolink on GUI, a graphical interface, and you just point and click to different things. It's so easy. And then when you move to Linux and you have just a command line interface and you have to figure out where those files are to get to those command line interfaces, that's when it becomes the hard part. And then you're saving a configuration and then trying another configuration, and that doesn't work. So then you have to go back into that configuration file, change it up, go back to the other configuration file, change it again, go back to the file, start it up. If that doesn't work, you have to stop the file, go back in the configuration. It's just going back and forth so much, and that was really the biggest time-consuming part. Is I probably had to go back and forth about 10 times.
That will get old in a hurry, for sure. Came for SMK for ID.
It did get very old very quickly, but I'm one of the people that I can't go to sleep until it's done. So I was up till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning a couple of times. I think one night I even got up, and I hadn't slept, and I got up and I said, ooh, I know something, this might work. And I got up at 4:30 in the morning and walked over to it and sat down and started typing it out, and then figured out, well, that didn't work. I got to go back to the drawing board. Sat back down the bed and thought about it for a little bit. I worked on it probably overall of 40 some odd hours, just over about 3 weeks, 2 weeks maybe. Hopefully this one will work. I'm going to try and transplant it into that other case if I can. So hopefully that will go good.
Something ain't working right, I ain't gonna get any real rest. If I'm trying to rest, I'm thinking about what I need to do or what the solution is. I'm not getting no true rest.
How I am, and being a networking major, I'm sitting there thinking, computers are literally what I'm going to school for. Why can I not sit down and figure this out? And it's just between coding and the networking and the figuring out which pins are working. Honestly, the worst part about it was that the pins just weren't configuring right. And finally, I don't even remember what I was doing. I was just switching between pins, seeing if one of them worked. And then suddenly, my radio was transmitting when no one else was. But when it was transmitting, my radio wasn't transmitting. And I was thinking, that's completely opposite of what I want it to do. But that's a good thing, because at least it's transmitting before it wouldn't even touch the radio. So then I got the relay in between it and had it test high as possible. And now it works. The relay's loud, so when someone uses it at 2 in the morning like they did last night, it wakes me up, or at least it keeps me awake. I can hear it, but hopefully putting it in that old Pelican case will dampen that audio quite a bit.
Is there any way to not have it connected to a speaker, like if that doesn't bother you, like you would have to go to your radio to hear it?
I've unplugged my speaker because I didn't want to hear it, I have a little audio splitter that goes from the output of the Pi to the radio and to the... big Wi-Fi repeaters and connectors sitting on top of a tower. We could do that because one of their towers is literally right under, so they have internet throughout that entire building. It would cost us quite a bit to just run an internet connection, while it wouldn't cost that much just to have the repeater running. But as of right now, this is completely portable. Should something ever happen to me, or should I have to leave for work or leave for a trip or something, I can take this and I can move it to another person's house. As long as they are within portable range of the repeater, this link will still work, which is why I want to get it in that spot. So that way, making the transition is going to be 10 times easier. All you have to do is pick up the whole box and leave rather than pack up all this delicate equipment, moving it over there and putting back all the delicate equipment that's held on by electrical tape and zip ties and hoping for the best.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was just trying to see what would be the easiest way. Yeah, it's kind of more permanent putting it up at the repeater. You wouldn't be able to move it around, really.
But the repeater is not really a bad thing. But just in this sense, now if something were to happen, I mean, it's portable. I mean, say we had a hurricane, then I could move this to wherever we're all going, or the internet is down here, but say it's not down, you know, in the next county over, and I knew a friend at the next county over, I could get a good enough antenna, maybe even a amplifier, and hook the radio up to that. Still have access to the repeater. That way, if anybody's on vacation, they still want to make sure everything's going good, they can contact their friends and family here through the echo.
Kind of like an in-com go kit for repeaters.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to use it as, at least partially, so that way it's useful. I want to make it to where, you know, with the Pelican case, if it floods, then the radio's protected. I can put a couple of plugs on the outside of it and charge everything, but if it floods, I can unplug everything, and then I can continue to have an internet connection. What I love about this setup that I have is if I have one of the little, like, LTE, 4G, Wi-Fi boxes from a network carrier that runs off of the USB, I can plug that in, and I won't ever have to worry about an internet connection. It'll just be going to the cell tower, so as long as the cell towers are up. minutes left. And I have one of those. I just don't have a working SIM card for it. But essentially, you just put the SIM card into this, kind of looks like a giant flash drive, and you plug it into the system itself, and it's taking a signal like a Wi-Fi dongle would, except it's using a cellular. It just takes the cellular and puts it straight through to USB, and it acts as a USB Ethernet adapter.
Okay, for ID. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You got, you know, multiple sources for internet, and another cool thing I thought of is multiple charging sources. Like, say your battery's running low and it's like, oh man, you know, it's about to go dead. You know, maybe you can come up with a solar charger that's got enough boom to actually charge that battery too, and have like a port for it to plug into it from the side.
Hey, Ken, for a few. Yeah, I was actually going to do that. I'm going to use either like Anderson power poles, or maybe I think there's a few more power powering the radio, so that way I unplug it and it's still got 5 days of use off of it. You know, if nobody uses it that often, it's for just for monitoring, it's still got 4 or 5 days of use on it. Plus, the power bank for the Pi can be charged while it's powering the Pi, essentially being the same thing as the radio's battery, where as it's powering the source, it's still putting off a little bit of power to add to those batteries. When you unplug them, you don't have to worry about them having to reboot to continue to use them. You unplug them, they're just fine.
A little bit of that came through. It kept dropping a repeater there for like the first minute or two.
Might be my connection. I'm pretty far away from that repeater. Now, what I was saying was, pretty much it will, the jacks will charge the battery while it's running both the Pi and the radio. So the radio has its own dedicated battery, and the Pi has an entire power bank connected to it. So when I unplug everything, it's all going to be fine. I don't have to worry about it dying out on me.
Yeah, that's cool. So they got independent power sources. That's good. What about charging options? Like, you know, if the power grid was to be shut down temporarily?
I've got it. I've got everything plugged into a UPS. So I've got the ability to continue to power it for a while. I have about 3 batteries that are always charged for this mobile radio, because I use the same kind of radio for my search and rescue stuff. That way, I always have an extra battery for that. So if that dies, click that thing into it. And as far as the Pi, I've got like 7 different battery banks, 2 of which are the really big. I think one's 27,000 milliamps, one's 29,000 milliamps, and the 27,000 milliamp has a solar charger on the face of it and a light on the front of it. It has 3 USB ports, and it's a wireless charger for your phone. So I could put this thing in the box, and if I needed to use it, I could use it. But that's all I've got so far. What I'm looking to doing is to get a small, a little 5-watt solar panel to put in there. They make them that they roll up now, or they kind of fold up, put that in there. If it charges the USB, then it charges the USB, and then I can keep the power bank charged. As far as the radio, I'm looking into getting a smaller radio that actually charges off of a USB. So I can do 2 birds with 1 stone. I can power both the Pi and the radio from the USB, if power goes out, unplug the radio. The radio will run off its own battery. The Pi will now have extra runtime.
Good.
That's what I'm hoping to do. I'm kind of going through a few different designs for the Pelican case right now, trying to figure out how to fit everything in. Luckily, it's got four different layers of the pop-out foam, and it's got one layer on the bottom that's not pop-out, so I can put something at the bottom and then open up some of the pop-out foam to set in, like, the power bank and, say, like, the relay in there, and then I can put out another layer of the pop-out foam, but I don't have to pop anything out, and then pop out enough for the radio and for the Pi, and I still have it kind of layered up and separated. And then I have a thing on the top for holding it all together. And it's all weatherproof. It doesn't say waterproof. IPv6-7. I've got a little port on the front to equalize pressure. And I can lock it in two different places. So if I ever have a problem with maybe not wanting it to be stolen, I can just chain it up somewhere. Or I can lock it up. That way nobody can get inside.
Yeah, well, that's good. It seems like you know, put a lot of thought into it, which is a good thing for sure. And, you know, you can kind of snowball on it, you know, kind of like you start with what you got, and then you have another idea, and you can, you know, eventually, you know, you'll have it all squared away.
Hoping to get it all done so that way we can all enjoy it. I mean, it's definitely been a process, and part of it's been really fun, and part of it's been really egregious, I guess to say, a nice word for being a pain in the butt. And some of it was when I finally got the radio to key by itself, I was just about jumping off of my walls. It was such a great moment that I had finally got it to do what I wanted to do. Now I've got it to power on by itself, and I've got it to start up after boot. I have it set to start up after 2 minutes, so that way everything still runs through the process as somebody else recommended. And then I've got an RDP, which is like a remote desktop, installed on it, so I can access it anywhere in the world. It's got an internet connection. So if I go on vacation and something goes wrong, somebody can still call me up and say, I know it's at my house, but I don't know what to do to fix it. I can get on it, and I can do some research, and I can fix it remotely from the other side of the world if need be. I just can't do physical stuff, so bringing it to someone else's house would be the best if, like, power cable broke. They could unplug it, plug it back in. Or if, like, one of the audio cables was popping, they could get a new audio cable and plug it in. All there are is 3.5-millimeter jacks.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes the harder something is to accomplish, the more rewarding it is. And then, you know, everybody gets to enjoy it. You know, that's going to, like, give you a sense of pride of, hey, you know, I was able to get this done no matter how hard it ended up getting to actually get it finished and working properly.
The prize is definitely the joy at the end. And I don't care what people say, the vacation isn't the destination, it's the journey. This journey was no vacation. So that's pretty much all I'm going to have to say about that without getting too into it. But I'm going to go ahead and run, try to finish up on this. I got a couple more holes I need to drill and set some other things out. So I will hopefully catch you next time. If you have any more questions, just feel free to ask me about weather next time. KF4LQ, I'll be clear on your final.
Well, good luck with the rest of it that you want to get done and everything, and we'll talk to you next time. KF4SMK, we're on the side.